If you talk to scientists and technologists about how they got inspired, there's a subject that comes up again and again. Whether it's an astronomer you're talking to, a computer scientist, biologist, rocket engineer, you can't avoid the subject even if you wanted to.
Space. The final frontier.
So we asked Julia Wetherell to go there, boldly.
For 2 years, the Juno probe has been hurtling through space on its way to Jupiter at a mind-boggling 15 miles a second. Almost warp speed, right?
To get from here to the nearest star at Juno's speed would take about 30,000 years.
Or maybe not.
30,000 years ago, we humans were inventing the bow and arrow, slapping some paint on some walls in caves in France, and domesticating this vicious animal that people now carry around in little bags on the Upper West Side called dogs.
That's K.E. Savick Ford, an astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. Even if we're a long way off from building a warp drive, Savick will be the first to tell you how important Star Trek is to people who study outer space. Because way before she got a PhD and started observing supermassive black holes for a living, she was a girl who named herself after a Vulcan.
Well, Mr. Savick, are you going to stay with the sinking ship?
Permission to speak candidly, sir.
Kirstie Alley played Savick in The Wrath of Khan.
I don't believe this was a fair test of my command abilities. There was no way to win.
I love the character Savick because she was a Vulcan, and she was rational, and she was calm, and she was smart, and she was a scientist.
Trouble with the nebula, sir, is all that static discharge and gas clouds her tactical display. Visual won't function, and shields will be useless.
And I went away to camp when I was 12, and I realized that I had the opportunity to say who I was. And so when I started to introduce myself to people, I said, hi, I'm Savick.
Star Trek went on the air in the late 1960s. Earthlings already had gone into orbit, and we were getting ready to actually land somewhere, on the moon.
Space, the final frontier.
So a generation of scientists got all fired up by the fantasy and the reality of space travel at the same time.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission.
And remember what the first space shuttle was called in the 1970s?
America's first space shuttle, the Enterprise. They lifted off from a strip in the Mojave Desert, climbing into the morning air to make a bit of history today.
By 2013, let me phrase it this way, I literally envisioned that I would be retiring on the moon.
Candy Torres is a former software engineer for the International Space Station in Houston, which was as close as she could get to working for Starfleet.
For the International Space Station, the crew uses terms like science officer.
This is Commander Spock, science officer.
Like Savick, Torres has her Star Trek namesake, the character B'Elanna Torres, who's the chief engineer on Star Trek Voyager.
I could modify a series of anodyne relays.
She's half human and half Klingon. And in my mind, that human half, she has to be Puerto Rican.
They could act as a sort of regulator to make the warp plasma compatible with the robot's energy matrix.
I started watching Star Trek right from the very beginning in 1966. Sonia Sotomayor said television showed us worlds and possibilities beyond where we lived. And we're both Puerto Rican. She lived in South Bronx. I lived in North Bronx. We're almost the same age. Technology and the future were positive. The world would be better.
What's it like out there in the galaxy?
We're on 1,000 planets and spreading out. We cross fantastic distances and everything's alive, Cochrane. Life everywhere. We estimate there are millions of planets with intelligent life.
It's the optimism of the show that makes Star Trek so important to scientists. Take this basic tenet of the Star Trek universe. In the 23rd century, any disease can be diagnosed in seconds with a single scan of a medical tricorder.
She's a mute, Jim. No vocal cords.
Today, there's a company offering $10 million to the people who can figure out how to make the tricorder a reality in our century. And some of the people working on this stuff have gotten close. If this sounds crazy, remember, we all walk around with a little piece of Star Trek in our pockets every day.
Yeah, my name is Martin Cooper. I'm in the wireless business.
Which is one way of saying he invented the cell phone.
We actually knew that the communicator of Star Trek was possible from the moment that we saw it.
It just took a few years. In 1973, Cooper and his team at Motorola built the first wireless phone.
Think about it. The communicator could only talk to other people who were members of the Enterprise crew.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Scott here, sir.
We're beaming up. Notify transporter room.
If I really wanted to be imaginative, which I am, by the way, they should have been able to talk to anybody in the universe, don't you think?
So you've got your communicator. But 45 years after the first moon landing, it seems like we're only getting farther away from building a real starship.
President Obama intends to switch to commercial contracts to launch astronauts into space. That means NASA would be out of the business of doing that. For Americans aged
with no manned spaceflight program in the U.S. anymore, how are we ever going to get beamed up anywhere?
People who have degrees in astrophysics can go off and make a gajillion dollars on Wall Street because it's the same analytical and quantitative tools that we use to analyze what's going on around a black hole also apply to analyzing stocks and bond prices.
The problem with pushing the frontier of science is that it's not all rational. You need to listen to conflicting impulses to come up with creative solutions, not just Vulcan logic. It's also not about who's the biggest hero or the best fighter pilot. It's about how people are better when they work together. That's the moral of Star Trek.
There's Spock as that rationalist who's going to say, we have to do it this way, Captain, and Bones the pessimist saying, we can't do anything, Captain, and, you know, Kirk going out there and saying, we are going to go out there and we are going to do it and we're going to do awesome.
Well, we're doing everything as possible.
Bones, I want the impossible checked out, too.
If you are purely rational, you would never start a problem that is going to take you months to solve. People who view science as strictly a rational enterprise don't know what science is really like.
Instruments register only those things they're designed to register. Space still contains infinite unknowns.
Remember, the Enterprise launches in the 23rd century. We've got time. We'll get there. For Studio 360, I'm Julia Wetherill.